You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Professor Sean McMeekin at Bard College. His new book is Stalin's War, A New History of World War II, How What We Regard as the Second World War Was a Product of Stalin's Manipulation and Cold-Bloodedness. We come now to May 3rd, 1939. Hitler is a threat to all of Europe, everywhere. He's a threat to Stalin as well. However, Stalin means to convince Hitler that they can work together in some fantastic way. Ideologically, it doesn't work, but bloody-mindedness in both Hitler and Stalin. May 3rd, 1939, the NKVD, a.k.a. the KGB, State Security, surrounds the foreign ministry, arresting the foreign minister himself, Litvinov, and all of his staff who are Jewish. Molotov, the gangster, a colleague of Stalin's from signing death warrants during the Great Purges of the 30s, and they will continue, becomes the new foreign representative of Stalin to Hitler. Sean, why did they arrest Litvinov? He'd been an accomplished Bolshevik all these years.
Well, he had been certainly useful for a time being when it came to things like public relations, in part because he was Jewish and he was abused for being Jewish in these kind of Nazi propaganda caricatures. And he had come to seem the face of, you might say, the more respectable Soviet foreign policy image. That is, that the Soviets were anti-fascist because of the Popular Front. They were devoted opponents of Hitler and so on. And there's no reason to doubt that Litvinov himself likely felt that way. He was, after all, Jewish. However, he had already quietly been demoted even before May 3rd, 1939. He had been demoted basically from his prior responsibilities in charge of the European desk. So effectively, he wasn't really running Stalin's foreign policy in Europe anymore. And the Soviets had already begun dropping quiet hints through back channels and theoretical journals and so on about a possible partition of Poland. The Soviets did not really recognize Poland's eastern borders. This dated back to the Soviet-Polish War of 1920 and Stalin's general antipathy to Poland, Poles, and really most of what they stood for. And there had already been a couple of other hints even before May 3rd, 1939. In March, Stalin had given this this speech, which I kind of refer to in the book as the chestnut speech, chestnuts being this metaphor where he said he didn't want to let the Western powers manipulate things so that he would be plunged into war with Hitler. Rather, he preferred that they not be allowed to draw, that he not be forced to draw the chestnuts out of the fire for them. And the Germans later looked at this speech when they met with Moscow. They met in Moscow in late August, and they said that they'd recognize the significance of that speech. Of course, it only really became plausible, that is, that Stalin was going to realign his foreign policy so dramatically after this sacking of Litvinov and the appointment of Molotov as a Gentile. Hitler immediately recognized the significance of this. And because it was such a dictatorial regime with such firm control of the German press and media under Goebbels, Goebbels immediately just ordered all of the main German press organs to stop attacking the Soviet Union. So kind of from one dictator to another, the message is already there. Now, it's not that they worked out all the terms of the deal yet. And in fact, there's probably still a significant level of mistrust.
Let's go to August, Sean. Let's get right there. Yeah. August, mid-August, late August, 1939, Ribbentrop in conversation about what will become the Moscow Pact. This is originally proposed for 25 years. What is Stalin's ambition about the Moscow Pact?
Well, he certainly doesn't want to be tied down for 25 years. So one of his first goals is to shorten the duration. So the Soviet spin on this, which began then and kind of continued on, you know, through the war years and afterwards, was that they were just trying to buy time, that they knew they were going to have to fight Hitler eventually. But there's no evidence that this is actually true if you look at the documents of the actual time. In fact, Stalin had revisionist territorial aims, no less revisionist than those of Hitler or Mussolini or any of the leaders of Imperial Japan. He had designs on Polish territory. He had designs on Romanian territory. He definitely planned to reabsorb the three Baltic nations, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, into the Soviet Union. He had already made demands on Finland quite explicitly back in 1938 when he had tried to bully the Finns into accepting them. So he had territorial demands. Now, were those meant to be sort of the first step in a war of conquest against Europe? I mean, maybe in some indirect sense. Did Stalin think that he might eventually have to fight Hitler? Probably. But I think at the time, Stalin was simply out for all that he could get. He was trying to expand the boundaries of the Soviet Union. He was quite explicit about this in conversation. And in fact, the Soviets, they kept ramping up those demands even after the Moscow Pact is signed and the Germans invade Poland. Stalin actually, for example, Lithuania was not initially promised to him, but he demanded Lithuania too. Later on, Molotov would even demand more Romanian territory than had been agreed to the Moscow Pact. So there's definitely opportunism here, but I think this is kind of Stalin's preparations for what he does hope eventually will be expanding the glacis of communist-controlled territory well to the west.
Quickly now, this is the story of Stalin's war, how Stalin manipulates what he regards as capitalist imperialist states to bash each other, and then he'll come in and gobble up territory, which is what the professor just outlined. Hitler jumps off into Poland, the blitzkrieg. Stalin has agreed, but then again he hasn't, to coordinate his approach from the east. He represents this as providing security for the previous members of the Russian Empire who were cut off from Moscow and Petersburg by the cruelty of the First War Treaty. However, the fact is, what's striking here, and we just have a minute to say this, Sean, the Western powers, especially London, sit this out. They do not come to Poland's rescue. It is a shocking fact that what was Stalin's opinion of why London and Paris did not attack? We have less than a minute.
Well, right. They opportunistically, Stalin waits until the Germans have really done most of the work and then pretends that he's not invading, pretends he's not really at war with Poland. And in the end, I suppose that Britain and France let him get away with this because it's convenient for them. It doesn't seem like there was really ever any intention of fighting seriously for Poland in Britain. And in fact, leading British figures, including even Winston Churchill, somewhat shockingly, ends up effectively endorsing the Soviet move into eastern Poland, effectively providing a barrier to Hitler. Now, I'm not sure Stalin knew they would behave in this kind of duplicitous way. What Stalin was actually hoping was that they would get into a bloody war with Hitler. Right. And in the end, they delayed it.
Right. He wanted them to war with each other. It's coming. Sean McMeekin, the book is Stalin's War, A New History of World War II from Stalin's Peculiar Point of View. When we come back, it is the fall of 1940. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.